Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're now joined by our friend Tim Hasbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and, of course, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. Justin Jefferson signs that monster contract yesterday. 4 years, $140 million, $110 million guaranteed. The largest non-quarterback contract in NFL history. What does that mean for the wide receiver market? Have wide receivers become the most important non-quarterback position in the NFL?
Most important. Maybe most coveted. I don't know. I would say, you know, non-quarterback. I don't know if I'd say most important.
Maybe, like, most valued, as I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, based on the contracts, it'd be hard to argue that. Okay, there's certain positions are going to continue to, you know, the numbers are going to go up. Like, I feel like, you know, edge rusher has been, you know, valued for a long time. That'll continue to be the case. Tackles will continue to be valued. I think the question is, you know, probably, like, is there a point where it's like, okay, hey, now we're paying too much to wide receivers? You know, just when you look at number of times a guy can touch the ball, like, in a game. But I also think with, like, the way the rules are set up, the way that, honestly, you score points in the National Football League, like, it kind of makes sense. And I would say this, like, whenever the point is where it's going to change, like, I don't think we're close to it, because I think CeeDee Lamb probably, you know, ends up with a bigger contract. I think that Ja'Marr Chase ends up with a bigger contract. So, like, I think the numbers are going to go up. So, you know, if there is a change eventually, I don't think it's right around the corner.
How do you see this playing out with T. Higgins? It seemed fairly obvious from, you know, the Senior Bowl, some of the comments that Duke Tobin, their general manager, said, like, it is our priority to sign Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins too as well. And it is clear that Ja'Marr Chase is the priority over T. Higgins. How do you see this playing out on his side? And do things change from now until the beginning of the season with T. Higgins and the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cincinnati's basically like, look, we got to – good quarterback, we got this window, and, like, that's what we're going to do. It's how the rules are set up. And the way the rules are set up, like, you know, Higgins kind of in a situation where it's like, look, you really don't have – you really have a choice. You know, it's just, you know, cost-wise, it doesn't make sense to, you know, throw a fit and try to get moved and miss stuff. I mean, I guess you can throw a fit and try to get moved, but it doesn't make sense to miss stuff. So, you know, the big thing is the hold-ins. Right. The, hey, you're going to pay me and I'm going to be here. But, you know, that hamstring is a little tight, not ready to practice yet. And that, like, that's really your only way to kind of force somebody's hand. And so if Higgins is not going to do a hold in, then I think ultimately, I think ultimately what happens is you just basically say, yeah, like we're, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go for it right now with the receivers that we have, and then we'll get what we get, you know, in compensatory picks when he decides to leave a year from now.
We'll talk with Tim Hasbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head football coach at the Ensworth Tigers. Now, Tim, if things stay status quo, meaning, you know, and I know this is the likelihood of this happening is very slim. If this team stays healthy completely across the board, I'm talking about guys that are not missing games. Now, you can miss some series here and there, plays. But if this team has guys that don't miss plays at those key positions, whether it be the offensive line, receiver, or on defense, the cornerback position, how good is this Tennessee Titans team compared to the other teams within AFC South? Because I think if they stay healthy, they can compete and win some games that people don't think they can win within the conference. But if they don't, then that's where the problem starts to come with the Tennessee Titans, I believe.
Yeah, that's always the case when people can't stay healthy. There's no question about that, right? Like, there are some teams, because of their depth, they can overcome it. But, look, I think if everyone were healthy, so, like, if you operated, like, in that vacuum, I think if everyone stayed healthy, the third or fourth best team in the division. Like, I mean, I think that's how I would end up looking at it. So, But the division's gotten a lot better, and I think that the expectations should be that that Indianapolis is better than they were, assuming their quarterback's healthy. You know, I think that's the hard part of it, right? You say, like, all right, assume the health. All right, well, like, look, if Anthony Richardson does some of the things that he did a year ago and is healthy, that's going to be a problem, you know? And if C.J. Stroud's healthy with the weapons they have, that's a big problem. And, look, if Trevor's healthy, like, that's a problem. I mean, I think it's actually easy, even in a fully healthy environment, to say, look, we think they're the fourth best team in the division.
Hmm. Interesting. Even when this team is healthy, they're still
I mean, like, I say that, but like,
well, no. Listen, there are a lot of people that feel that way.
This is what I've been saying. This is going to be the consensus of a lot of people that whose jobs are to make predictions like this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
it's fine. It doesn't mean that they can't win.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm fine with what you said.
But this is how it's. This is the expectation level.
Yeah. So because the sentiment, it seems like, from you and other people outside of, but you're inside of the Nashville area, but those outside of the Nashville area, is that this team is no better than probably third within their own division. And
yeah, I would say that. So, like, you just start taking segments of the mm-hmm. team, okay? So you say you take segments of the team, and you say, like, quarterback. Like, unfortunately for the Titans, like, people would probably rank Will Levis third or fourth, you know, and most likely fourth in the division. Fair, right? Like, we agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay, receiving core. Okay, so receiving core, third or fourth at best. Like, Houston probably gets the edge. Indianapolis in bad. Like, you know, like Jacksonville. Like, will we agree on that? Like, maybe second or third, but, like, they're not the top, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that, like, you know, the front seven defensively, the chance that they would be, you know, second, third. Like, but like I think if you just started, like, segmenting it off and breaking it all down, and then you looked at the end of it and you said, all right, like, where are we? Like, I don't know that they'd have a bunch of ones in the column, right? Like,
no, you're right.
That's the case.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, every sort of mock rankings we've seen when it comes to team or individual positions, the Tennessee Titans don't seem to rank in the top half of any of those, with the exception of maybe running back, well, cornerback maybe, but that's really about it. Yeah. Now, looking at this offense, because I think this is going to be the theme of what's being said about the Tennessee Titans offense. If they don't get off fast, you know, it's not working. Will is not the guy. Yeah. You know, whether it be you got too many older guys at the wide receiver position. If this thing doesn't work, there are going to be a lot of questions thrown that way. But how long should we give this offense to really kick into gear? Because I've always said, like, the first day of training camps, the defense typically always dominate the first week.
Yeah.
The offense is trying to get going. But then after that, it sort of settles down for some people or most people. Mm-hmm. So, but how long should it take for this offense for us to start seeing, okay, it's headed down the right road?
Listen, man, like, I think in some ways, like, to consistently see it, mm-hmm. I think you're talking about over a year. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and you're playing in a similar offense to this. Like, but the reality is, like, it's a West Coast-based offense, which means that, like, it is a timing and rhythm type of offense, which means that, like, there's details associated with that take time. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And so with that, like, and with a young quarterback and with new receivers and with, you know, new run game, like, it'll, and new back to count on, like, there are going to be times where it looks like, we're far away. Like, I truly believe that will be the case. And so, I think you have to look for windows of growth and elements of improvement, you know, not, hey, we're just better than we were a year ago. I feel strongly about that. I think I think that's really how it's got to be viewed. Now, I don't think, and I say all that, like, I don't think you can be like, hey, we're 3 weeks in and Will Levis, you know, turned the ball over a few times, hadn't thrown a bunch of touchdowns. Like, hey, we need to panic and make a move at quarterback. And I think based on, like, the signings and the contracts, like, I don't think they've set themselves up for that. Whereas, like, I think you could even look in New York and at the Giants and say, well, like Drew Locke is making decent money as a backup. Not amazing, but decent money as a backup. And shoot, you know, 5-6 games in there, they may need to reevaluate that. Like, I don't think the contracts are set up that way. I don't think the situation is that way to have that happen in Tennessee.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, talking some football with a lot of mini camps going on around the league. Would love to hear your thoughts on what you're seeing from what Jim Harbaugh wants to try to do with the Chargers. I think that's an intriguing team, trying to go up against the perennial team to beat in the Chiefs in that division. You've got a really talented quarterback in Justin Herbert that they haven't been able to maximize as of yet, and now he's on that second contract. So what are you seeing for what he's trying to do with that formula?
Well, just I think you look at the draft. I think you look at the running backs. I think you just look at, like, what, like where is his head? And, like, to me, he is a, like, hey, we're going back to, you know, 1983 football. Like that's – and that's not new for him. So, like, I think that he definitely is like, look, you guys, like – Kansas City, if you want to try to be in a scenario where, like, you're just scoring with Kansas City, like, I think that he's all – and I think this is natural. I don't think this is just like, hey, he's looking at Kansas City. But I think, like, down – like, deep in his heart, in his soul, he'd be like, that's a losing proposition. They've got Andy Reid and they've got Patrick Mahomes. So, like why would you do that? Like, there's only one Patrick Mahomes. And there's only one Andy Reid, and, like, trying to, like, win at their game by outscoring them, like, that's a bad idea. Like, that's a bad formula. And I think that he is going to have extra linemen in the game at tight end. Like, I think he's going to run the football. I think they are going to, like, anywhere he's been, University of San Diego, they are running that guy football. Even, honestly, when he was at the Raiders just getting started as a coach, Bill Callahan was there, and they were running the heck out of the football. Like, that's what they were doing first. Then he goes to Stanford, and, like, yeah, he's got Andrew Luck, but they also had Toby Gerhardt. And they were running the heck out of the football. He runs the football in San Francisco, and he does it a little bit differently because he had Kaepernick for part of it. And then he goes to Michigan, and all of a sudden, like, you've never seen so many big guys on the field at once, right? Like, that's, like, I just think that that is who he is. It's what he believes works. And I just think that that is going to be the identity of the team. I think he wants to limit possessions, not defend possessions, when you face people like the Chiefs.
I think that's going to be a interesting theme, changing the formula that we're used to seeing from the Chargers. And
really the rest of the league, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the rest of the league has gotten away from that. Right?
No question about it.
Hey, we're going to spread things out. I mean, and college football has done that. But, like, he hasn't changed.
Yeah, and ironically, the Titans are trying to go more modern with the flow. He's going sort of against the flow. What about the Jets? There's another team that there was all this hype and excitement last year. It ended so soon, quietly, and I would say relative to how quiet you can be in New York. But if Aaron Rodgers is back, you know, the Titans play them in the second week of the season. They did a lot of work to improve. The other glaring weakness was offensive line. Are you buying in on the Jets?
I am. Listen, he's so good, and like I, you don't fall off a cliff like when you're that good. I think, look, they've had such bad quarterback play for a long time. They've got a really good defense. I actually think, like, whatever the excitement was around Aaron Rodgers a year ago, and it was a ton, right? It was all anybody talked about.
Right.
There actually should be more, because the team around him is actually better this year because they had more time to build the players up around them. They're better at receiver. They're better on the offensive line. Like, they're actually better than they were. They're going to be healthier at running back than they were a year ago. They were trying to figure that part out. Like, so all that excitement a year ago, I actually think they should be more excited. And then, you know, Aaron's injury happened so long ago. Like, he was flirting with the idea of playing last season. Like, he should be good to go. Guys are coming back from that injury now. So I actually think that, like, wherever you were on them then, like, if you were bullish last year, you should be even more bullish this season.
Tim, looking at Pittsburgh, because this has been intriguing to me, you know, the whole situation with the quarterbacks, Russell Westbrook or Justin Fields. Now, you look at Russell, and listen, whether you like Russell or not, I think he improved last year from the year prior. within that offense. But he caught so much flack that people that really didn't care or didn't care to notice it, or if they did, they just didn't speak on it a lot. So now he's in Pittsburgh. But then you bring in Justin Fields. What does the future hold, you believe, for Justin Fields? Because it seems like he went from, honestly, one bad situation in Chicago. And Pittsburgh's a great organization, but I don't think this is any better than what he was in Chicago, honestly, because he's not the starter. And if Russell plays well, they're going to re-sign him.
Yeah, well, look, I think both guys, I said this actually this morning on Get Up, I think both guys, or neither one of them, are playing for the Steelers this year. They're playing for their second contract. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what both guys are playing for. So to your point, somebody is going to be really unhappy with the situation. Like, they just are. Like, Russell Wilson is playing, you know, he's getting paid, whatever, nearly $60 million no matter what. And, you know, now he's on a league minimum contract. And so if he's not playing, he's going to be like, what am I doing? Like I'm making more money in interest than I am getting paid for the Steelers this year. Like, he's not playing for them. He's playing for his next contract. Same thing with Fields, to your point. Like, he's got to prove he's got to get to that next contract. So if he's not playing, it doesn't work. I think the dynamic is kind of a disaster. And unless Mike Tomlin can handle it in a way, which maybe he can, I'm not sure how it's going to end up working out. And I also think that, like, Justin Fields has got a much higher upside, and you got to figure it out soon. So I would much rather play Justin Fields and see if it can work with him than, you know, I think, well, 35-year-old Russell Wilson.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, appreciate you for stopping by, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Tim.